I've pushed it. Okay.
As always, I desire an interest in your prayers as we look together at God's Word. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you from the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah in the latter part of the chapter. We'd like to begin reading about midway, about verse 18. We'll read down through the end of the chapter, which is down to verse 31. This is the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 18 to verse 31. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth the tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. What sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Very, very thankful for the writings of the prophet Isaiah as God moved him by the power of the Holy Spirit to pen these things down. No doubt God's little children down through the years have read these verses, and they've meant so very much to them. Preachers have stood in pulpits and stood before congregations of people and declared these truths. And this afternoon, as we meet here tonight, these truths are just as sure and just as real as they have ever been. It's part of God's Word that we can count on as being the truth, that we're to let God be true and every man a liar. And I'm so thankful tonight to know that our God is just as powerful as he's always been, and you and I are to be trusting and depending upon him. He writes here, by inspiration of God, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? And he goes on and describes the work of idol makers, men that create gods in their own ideas and their own thoughts and after their own likeness. In the beginning, God created man in his likeness. And after the fall, men began to create gods, and they made gods in their likeness. They made gods like they are. We can look and see what we're believing and trusting in. If the God we're serving is like us, then he's not really the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible is so much higher and so much greater, so much of so much more power, that we can't even liken any image or anything. That's why we're told in one of the commandments to not make any graven image or any likeness of anything upon the earth. And that doesn't mean we can't make a statue, but we're not to worship it. We're not to give glory to it. We're certainly not to say this is a picture of our God, or this is an image that is showing us and allowing us to better see and to know God. Our God is in the heavens, and He's the invisible God. And we could never make any image or anything that would compare to Him whatsoever. And that's what the writer is saying here. That's why our churches are not filled with statues and not filled with images. You might sometimes wonder, why don't we have those things when seemingly so many people do? Well, we want to be very, very sure that we don't do anything that we would be bowing down to some image that represents our God. Our God is the God of heaven, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we want to understand here that it says, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto Him? That is, there is no God but God, and there is none like Him. There is none, no other. Some people say it doesn't matter what your faith is in, as long as you have some faith. Well, if you have faith in any of the little gods of this world, or if you have faith in man, or have faith in the flesh, all of that is vain. That's vanity. And you can have all the faith you want, but it's important that true faith, and that's what true faith is in the Lord. It's in the God of heaven, the one true God, the one true and living God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as the Scripture says, in these three are one. And we cannot make Him any image that is of Him. He says, and he goes on, he says, the workman melteth the graven image. And we see how men do that sometimes. They'll take brass or iron or some type of metal, and they'll heat it up and get it in a molten shape and pour it into a mold and then graven on it, and then cover it over with gold so that it looks like it's completely gold, so it looks like a total golden image, but made of something else but covered over with gold, and then call it a god, and then clean it and fashion it, and then fasten it up somewhere, as it says, casteth it with chains. Either they put the chains on them like a dressing, or either the chains are to hold it up, or to fasten it on the wall, and then they bow down to it, and then they worship it. And what he's saying here is that's just vanity. That's silly. That's not because we should know better, and really all mankind ought to know better. We ought to be able to look at creation and the beauty of all that God has done and the great works of God, and those visible things allow us to see and know, if by just good common sense, we could see and know that there had to be someone who made all that is. Now, what happened is, when man fell in the fall, he fell completely away from God, to where his thoughts were altogether, God was not in his thoughts. And really what that's saying is that altogether he says there is no God. Now, we know who it is that says there is no God. It's the fool who has said in his heart, there is no God. And we would be among them. That's exactly where you and I would be this afternoon and tonight. And no one could convince us otherwise, were it not for the Lord who has awakened us and allowed us to know better and to know different than that. But we who know different and have been awakened by the power of God, we certainly don't want to create some God in our imagination. And you know, it isn't always those that are fashioned, that you fashion and set up and say that's a God. It's things that we put before God in our lives that we make little gods out of. And that's where I find among God's people we fall the most, is when we stop seeing God as being the true God and we start trusting in something else. That doesn't mean we don't know God. It doesn't mean we don't know who He is. Or you can't lose that relationship. But we start trusting in something else other than the Lord. Now, I find myself guilty of that more than I want to admit, but it's still true, whether I admit it or not. There are times I'm not trusting in the Lord nearly as much, and my behaviors show that, my attitude show that, my thinking shows that, Even when I might say I'm trusting in the Lord, if I was truly trusting in the Lord, then I would act different and talk different and think different. And if you take account, and we all take account tonight, I think we all have a lesson here that we can learn to remember that our God is a mighty God and He's worthy of our trust. And tonight, we want to be faithful to the gospel and declare that our God reigns. I want to declare tonight that the God of heaven, who's on the throne, is still on the throne. He's still in charge. The one who made the heavens is holding it by His power. It consists. And you and I have no business, any more than a man has any business taking metal and as he says here, the workman melteth a graven image, he forming a graven image and fashioning a god. You and I, we may not do that, but we surely don't want to do it with something else. We don't want to be trusting in anything else other than the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we can't appreciate the things the Lord gives us. I think you can appreciate a good doctor. If the Lord gives you a good doctor, you can thank the Lord for it. And I think you're silly not to use the blessing of a good doctor when the Lord provides one to you. But when we start thinking the doctor's the Lord rather than the Lord is the Lord, well, we've got our eyes in the wrong place. You can be thankful for a good minister, one who's preaching the gospel, and should be. Anytime we have someone who's preaching the gospel and teaching us, we ought to be thankful for that, but we ought to always remember that the preacher is not God. The preacher is simply telling us about the Lord. We're not to make any God out of either the preacher or the doctor or the brethren or our wife or our husband or our family or anything else. But above everything, we're to look to the Lord and lean upon Him. If we get anything in between that, be it our job, be it our money, be it our home, be it whatever it might be, when we have something come between us and God, then we stand just as guilty as those who take a metal and melt it down and fashion a graven image and begin to trust in it rather than the Lord. And we as God's little children can find ourselves doing that from time to time. That's why the gospel minister is supposed to come and faithfully declare unto us that we're not to do that. And then when we hear that and the Word of God teaches us that, we say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me for that. And He's faithful and just to forgive us and help us to get back on track. And He says, the workman melted the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and cast his silver chains. And see, in other words, he made it look as good as he could make it look. That's what men do. They just make it look as good as they can. But it's really silly to bow down to the things that God has created. Those things here wouldn't even exist if there wasn't a God who made them, and sit down and worship those things. And it's just as silly for us to put up something before the Lord and start trusting in it or Him or her or something more than the Lord. And so he goes on and he says, and those who can't do that, those that are impoverished, which means poor, that he hath no oblation, that is a gift that's offered to a god, he says, chooseth a tree. In other words, if he can't get the metal together, he'll get him a tree, and he'll find one that really holds on to its character as much as it can and won't rot. But, you know, in time, all of them are going to rot. They all, no matter what kind of wood it is. But he goes to find one the best he can that won't rot. And by the way, the gold is going to get dusty, and even though it may not lose some of its glitter over time, it will get dusty. You got to work on those kinds of gods. You got to help those kinds of gods along. You got to supply things for those kinds of gods. Those gods can't help you because they can't help themselves. They are in need of you to be in existence, and therefore they are dependent upon you. And some people preach a God, supposedly in the Bible, that needs man more than man needs God. And what I want to say to you here, without the Lord, there wouldn't be anything else, and you and I are dependent upon Him. He certainly doesn't need our help. As a matter of fact, the Bible says if He was hungry, He said He wouldn't ask us. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the God who created the heavens and the earth, and we read that right here. And He says to prepare, they get a tree, and then if he can't fashion it himself, he goes find someone who can make something look good. And you know, and it's okay if you got, you know, some people are handy with carving, and they can take a tree and, you know, a piece of trunk of tree and make all the fashion kind of all that. Some are gifted with that kind of thing. Nothing wrong with that. But it is wrong when we bow down and start worshiping it, and we say, this is my God. And if that's your God, well, you're going to have to take care of it. You're going to have to carry it along with you, and you're going to have to clean it up. And you're going to, if it goes anywhere, you're going to have to take it. And it'll have eyes, but it can't see, and it has ears, and it can't hear. And you can talk to it and think it's listening, but it won't hear anything. You can have all the faith that you want in that. That's not going to help you at all. You can bow down and pray to it. And I'll tell you, that's a wasted prayer. A prayer to that kind of God, a God that man has made, will not benefit us one iota or be good for us. That's why God forbid it. And you and I ought to be remembering that when we talk to the Lord, we're not talking to that kind of God. We're talking to a God who's in control, and a God who's in power, and a God who's mighty, and a God who's great. And you can't form or fashion anything that looks like unto Him, because as he said here, to whom then will you liken God? And with what likeness will you compare unto Him? You know, we see the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, and they get on the other side, and they get a little irritated that things aren't going just like the way they want them. And so they say, well, let us form and fashion some gods so that we can see these gods. We don't want an invisible God. We want some God. And that's what men do. They want some God other than what they want. God to be what they want Him to be. That's why when you preach a sovereign God, many men don't want to hear anything about a sovereign God, because they don't want a God bigger than they are. And in reality, the truth is, whether you believe it or not, God is greater than all. He is Lord above everything and everyone. And I'm so thankful that's the case. Because if that wasn't the case, then I'd have to be dependent on myself. And I'll tell you, all I've ever made in my life is a mess. And if it wasn't for the Lord who got me out of the mess and out of the things that I've done wrong, it wouldn't be any good news tonight. It wouldn't be any good news to hear about a God who's like me. Our God is truly God. And He's a good God. He's a wonderful God. He's a powerful God. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God who changes not. He's a God who's eternal, everlasting. The Jehovah, the great I Am. There's none that can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? And He doesn't ask my permission or your permission. And tonight, I should not want my way. I should want His way. I should not want my will. I should want His will. And many times, our will and our ways, almost all the time, our will and our way in the flesh, all the time in the flesh, is contrary to His will and His way. That's why you and I are to be transformed tonight by the renewing of our minds. Rather than being conformed to this world, we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when we look to the Lord and we think about our lives as being in God's hands. And do we believe that tonight? Is our lives in God's hands? Does He know all our troubles? Does He know all our problems? Does He know them before they happen? Is he powerful enough to take care of them? If we turn things over to Him, is he going to be faithful with them? You don't want to turn something over to someone who's going to misuse it or abuse it. Will God misuse or abuse anything? And by the way, He has all power anyway. And even as we turn it over to Him, we're not giving anything that He doesn't already have. As a matter of fact, even when we do that, it's God who has worked in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's the one who's motivated us to do that. I'm not saying to you by that we don't have some responsibility, because you and I tonight are to come tonight and be submissive to Him. And there's a great peace found when we just go, Lord, this is too big for me. It's in Thy hands, and I need to take it to Thee and leave it there. And that's really what Isaiah is teaching us here, and what the Lord Himself says. And for me to do other than that is really a waste of my time. And for you to do that is a waste of your time. And for us to do that as a people, it's not only a waste of time, it's dishonoring the God of heaven who's already done so much for us. And so tonight, let us help one another to remind one another, who are you going to liken God to? Look, He's in control. And He's on the throne. And we can trust Him. He goes on and he says, He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image. In other words, I may not be able to carve out anything, but I could go over to somebody and say, okay, carve me out an image, and then I'll take that image made out of the best kind of wood that's eventually going to rot, and I couldn't even make the image. And then and that shall not be moved. In other words, you got to prop this up, otherwise something's going to move it. You got to keep it all right. You know, have you ever seen that? People, you know, you go to a cemetery and all the stones look in place, give it a little time, next thing you know, stones are falling over. And that's what happens. And somebody has to come along. If you're taking care of a cemetery, it's right. You got to keep them propped up. You got to do certain things to keep them. It's just not going to stay there. And it doesn't get better. It falls apart. That's the way things work. Except with God. What God does never falls over. I mean, what God does always lasts. It always stays. And our God never... The gods of this world have to be propped up. And they have to be held up. And you have to keep them clean. You have to take them where they go. You got a full-time job keeping up with all those gods. And how silly it is for us to waste our time in this world taking care of gods when we need a God. We're looking to a God who is capable and able and will take care of us and has given us the wisdom and the knowledge to do that. So let us tear down the idols that are in our life and worship only Him. And be careful we're not propping another one up, because, you know, that's our nature. Man's nature is to do that. And he goes on and says this. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? In other words, I'm telling you again what you've heard before. He says, hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? In other words, just look at this world that's been made. Can you think that little thing you cut out of a tree made this world? Do you think the gold that you put on that little idol and fashion, you think those children of Israel said, these are the calves, these are the gods that delivered us from Israel. And they bowed down and worshiped those images. Nebuchadnezzar puts an image up of himself and he bows, tells everybody to bow down. Daniel's not going to bow. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not going to bow down to those images. You know why? Because they know Nebuchadnezzar made that image. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to die. Nebuchadnezzar is not going to be here all the time. It probably looked just like Nebuchadnezzar, which he looks like every other man, which is they're nothing but grasshoppers before Almighty God. We need to understand there's one true God that can take care of us, even if a Nebuchadnezzar threatens us or any other thing. We think, well, I'm not going to make it if I don't do this. Sometimes we think, if I don't handle it, it ain't going to happen. Well, let me say, that's saying I know better than God. And which of us knows better than God? Well, we know the answer to that. And it's just as silly for us to think that it would be just like me going to get somebody and carving out an image and then bringing it to my house and putting it up so it won't fall over and then start worshiping it and saying, that's my God who's helped me through everything. Now, they got helped out of Egypt, but I'm telling you, the way they got out of Egypt wasn't through those golden calves. And that's why God moved upon them in a way of judgment in a timely sense, but for doing that. And even Aaron was involved in that. You would think Aaron would have known better. Well, they were God's children who did that. So we know we're capable of it. He goes on and says this. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? In other words, just look at this world. Look how it's made. He said, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And long time men thought the world was flat. If they could just read the Bible, they would have seen right here that the Lord is pointing out the fact that we have a globe, we have a circle of the earth, we've got a ball, and it's just there hanging out in space, and there it is, this earth that's just in the right place. Just in the right place so that the water is not too hot and the water is not too cold, and we have it in all three of its forms. And if it was just a little bit colder, we wouldn't have that. Or if it was just a little bit hotter, it would all be vapor. We have a planet that is just the exact right temperature, just at the exact right place, with all the things that are on it provided for it so that man might live on it. And for us to sit and think that just happened to be is just the same as going out and carving on a, on a chunk of a wood and saying that's the God that's helped me through everything. And I'm telling you, this earth is here because God placed it here. And he didn't just place the earth. He put the other planets. And he put the solar system here. And he put the sun. And the sun is like, you know, they say it's just a star. But it looks so big because it's closer. But then we got all the other stars. And I heard a fellow the other night pointing out the difference in all the stars. And how some stars are just so much bigger than our sun. And how you know, to think about the sun and its awesomeness would just overwhelm you. And to think God put that sun there in the sky, but he also put all the other stars there, and he made some stars that are so much bigger than the sun. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, I heard this guy talking on that. Brother Mike sent me a YouTube, and I looked at that, and it was this guy talking about the way God had made the planets and the stars and all the beauty of, you know, and he got into a lot of the, you know, he said if the earth was a golf ball, then this would be that big. I don't know all about that. I just know God really did wonderful. And the Bible says it was the work of his fingers. You know, just the work of his fingers. He made the stars also. And he put them there. And they stay where they are. And this verse here, verse 26 tells us that. Well, Psalm 147 says he names every, he's got a name for every star. He calls them by name. Isn't that something? He's got every one of them. He numbered them. He knows them. And, you know, we can't even see them all, but he knows them all, and he's got a name for every one of them. We call them by names. It's probably not the name that God has for them, but he has a name for every one of them. And they all stay right there. You know why he did that? To show us how powerful he was. To show us how great our God is that we're trusting in. Now think of the difference of trusting in a God who made the heavens and a stump. Just think of the difference. And why would we and God's children do that? Absolutely. It's talking about Israel and Jacob. That's God's children. Why would we liken the God who made the heavens and the earth to anything, whether it be a golden image or whatever it ought to be? And should we ever bow down to anything else? Listen, there's only one God. And he loved us so much that he sent his son and died for us and gave us, and we got the promise of heaven and immortal glory. We've got the promise of every day of our life. We got the promise that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll be with us through every trouble, every storm, every problem. And you and I spend so much time trying to fix things that he's already taken care of. And he looks upon us and says, why would you do that? You know, it's really what he's saying. You know, why would you go out there and carve on a tree and dig you out an idol when I made the heavens and the earth? And in loving compassion, he comes to us again and again in the gospel, and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, when I'm trying to handle it, I come to the Lord and he'll give me rest. If I take his yoke upon me, like he's told me to do, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. That's to learn. Hey, he made the stars. That's all I'm telling you. He made the stars. Our God made the stars. You know, when you think I got a big problem, well, look, we got a God we're praying to who made the stars. And he made everything else there is too. And by the way, he didn't only make them, they stay there because of him. You can look up tonight and see them where they kind of expected to be. You know, there are a lot of smart men who can tell you, you know, you look up into this sky and you're going to see this star right here at this place. You know how they know that? It isn't because they put it there. It's because the Lord put it there, and it's following his pattern. It's following his purposes. It's following what he's laid out. And I'm not telling you everything in our life is laid out, but I'm telling you God is absolutely in control and he's in charge. He's not the author of confusion, but he overrules in this world, and you and I can trust in him and lean upon him, and we should not be afraid or worried because God is on his throne. And sometimes just because we don't get what we want, we murmur and complain and think God doesn't care. And he gets to that verse here in a little bit. But I love to think about the Isaiah knowing about the globe, but knowing about the earth a long time before a lot of people did. He says, it is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Now, man doesn't like that. You know, we want to be special, don't we? We want to be unique, especially in our society today. Everybody wants to be unique and special. And you know what the gospel says? The gospel says that he's on the throne. He's the only one that's deserving praise. The rest of us are grasshoppers. We're like little grasshoppers. If you think of the earth in relationship to the rest of the universe, it's just like nothing. And then you think of us in relationship to the earth, and we're just like nothing. We're just a little speck on a speck. That's really us. And we're just like grasshoppers. And the Lord, except it's a special place, and you are a special people, because God has chosen it to be that. Listen, this planet is very special, because God sent his son to this planet to save his people that were on this planet. It's been the place that he's made for us. And when you read in Genesis, he made it ready to go before man ever got here. He didn't tell man to get here. Now you figure it out. He made everything he needed and then put him in a place to live. And right now we're on a place. The earth is a place you and I can live, because God's provided everything already for us that we need in a natural way. Do you believe tonight that the Lord's provided for us also everything that we need in a spiritual way? And if we're taken care of spiritually and we're taken care of naturally, what are you and I worried about? We shouldn't be worried about a thing. Just as silly for us to worry about it as it is for me to go over here and have somebody carve a tree and then me bow down to it and start worshiping it. That would be silly. But it's just as silly for me to worry about it if the God who made the heavens and the earth is my God, and I believe that he is. And the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that tonight? That as we look to the Lord, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That doesn't mean he's going to give you something because you do it. It means as you look to the Lord, he will supply your needs each and every time. You will never be ashamed you trusted in the Lord. That doesn't mean you're going to get what you want exactly when you want it. You may not get anything you want, because what you want may be the worst thing in the world for you. And if it's bad for you, as a good father, he won't give it to you. He's going to withhold it from you. And when you need it, at the right time, at the right moment, in the right way, and what you need will be supplied to you. That's why the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I can be settled with what God has given. And tonight we can be content. I get so discontent sometimes in this world with things that I want to be this way when there's some other way. And in reality, I need to trust the Lord. And that doesn't mean I can't pray about it. I should pray about it. I should look to the Lord for all my troubles and all my problems and all the things that are wrong. I should try the best I can to live the best I can in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. But when I pray and leave it in the Lord's hands, I'm not supposed to pick it up again and carry it off. When you see me doing that, y'all tell me stop. And do it kind, though. Be gentle. We're to be gentle and kind with one another, because all of us as God's little children need that. And we need, Jesus said, "I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." And he's our elder brother. He's one who's our helper. And he's the gentle, loving lamb. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't at times harshly chasten his children, because there are sometimes you and I need correction, and he gives it. He'll give it each time just the way that we need it. But he also tells us not to be sure that we do not offend in our way and in our manner, not with the truth, but in a way and our manner, not to offend the least of his children. It's important for us not to do that. Okay. He says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." Now, you and I don't have any trouble if we're going camping, and I would, some of you would, going camping, and if you're going to put up a tent, wouldn't have any trouble, just spread it out and put it there. That's how the Lord put the heavens up there. He just spread it out like a tent. He said, "There it is, done." You know, isn't that something? You know, you just look at him and stand in awe. You just stand in awe of what God has done. He just put it there. That's it. That's the one we're to trust in. Not the stump, not the golden image, not any other thing, but we're to trust in the Lord. And he says, "That bringeth the princes to nothing." There are men who think they're it. And there are folks and there are nations who've risen up and thought they were it. They were everything. There were cultures that thought they were going to last forever. That we're here and everywhere. Sometimes America gets the idea that we're just going to be here forever just because we're America. I'm telling you that we're dependent upon the God of heaven. He's the one who has blessed us to be where we are. And if we don't continue to depend and lean upon Him, as sure as we get lifted up in ourselves, then this verse becomes a reality for us. He bringeth the princes to nothing, and He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. God will not share His glory with anyone. And if we start robbing God as a nation, we rob God, then we're in precarious, dangerous ground. And that's what He says. Yea, they shall not be planted. That's these princes and these judges. They shall not be sown. Their stock shall not take root in the earth. And He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. Some of the great societies of the past no longer exist, gone out of existence. They thought they would last forever and got lifted up in themselves. Completely forgot the Lord and never turned to the Lord. And where are they now? They're gone. They're gone. And that's going to happen. He goes on and he says, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. And then he comes to this. The Lord says this Himself. Isaiah said it, now the Lord saying it. To whom will you liken me? God's words to us tonight. Who are you going to liken me to? I mean, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. There's only, and He's the Holy One. Isn't that good? He's not the one of many. He's the only one that's holy. Holy and righteous is His name. Holy and reverent is His name. He's the Holy One. We are to be holy as He is holy. That means you and I are to try to be as much like Him as we can be. He set the example. He is altogether. He is the source of holiness. The Lord is the source of all power. When He uses His power, He doesn't have less power. When He turns the lights on, He doesn't have less energy to turn more lights on. When He gives love to one of His children, He doesn't have less love than He had before. He has the same amount of love. When He shows mercy, He doesn't run out of mercy because He's the source of mercy. He's the self-supplying source. Isn't that good to know? That God isn't dependent on us. The idols have to be propped up. Our God is the one who supplies all His power. All His wisdom came from Him. He doesn't have to go get wisdom from somewhere else. And when He uses His wisdom and His knowledge, He doesn't have less of it. He has as much as He ever had because He's the source. And if you ever see any true wisdom and knowledge, God was the source of it. And so all the glory belongs to the Lord. If you see any light in this world, any goodness in this world, God's the source of it. He's the one who is, He's the light of the world. Even when we shine our light, it's our light, it's His light given to us, and we're dependent upon Him for the power. The sun itself does not have, it's a self-sustaining power. It has great power, but it was all given by God. And it's burning, it'll burn out. I mean, you know, Brother Barney mentions it sometimes, how when some say the sun's going to burn out. I'm telling you, God's the one who lit it up. God's the one who's going to keep it and sustain it. And God's not running out of energy. He's not going to run out of power. He's self-sufficient. No other source of power is self-sufficient. I mean, but God, all the energy, most of the energy, or almost all of the energy that's used on earth comes, they said the sun is the source of that. Well, where did the sun get its energy? It came from God. Where did God get His energy? He's always had it. He's the supplier. That's what's good about our God. And that's why He's so great. And He says, lift up your eyes on high. That's what the Lord says. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? You look up at the stars. Here He goes. He says, that bringeth out their host by number. Oh, there you see them every night. When you go out tonight, if there's no clouds in the way, you'll see those stars that are in the heavens and where they were set, where they're at. You can kind of follow where they're at. They follow a plan and they're there. Even the planets. So they sometimes look like they're moving differently. They're on their plan. They're on their orbits and they're running their schedule. They're right on time. Right? And the reason is not because they're directing themselves. The Lord is directing all of that. And you and I say, you know, I don't know how I'm going to handle tomorrow. He's taking care of all that right now. Do you not think He's... Is He not... Not only is He taking care of the big things, there's not a sparrow that falls without Him. There's not a hair on my head that's not numbered. That means even the ones that's gone. I mean, He's known them. That's kind of, every time I comb my hair, the number of my hairs change. I mean, you know what's on my head, it changes. And there's a God who's in that kind of detailed control. And we're not preaching absolutism here tonight. I'm not saying God's the author of sin or the author of confusion. I'm not going to charge God with the folly that comes out of the heart of men. But I'm telling you, there's a God on the throne tonight that you and I can depend upon, that overrules the evil of this world and is in control. And He moves and He works His will among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there is none that can stay His hand or say, "What doest thou?" And why would we trust in a stump? Why would we trust in anything we do when we can depend upon Him? And I'm trying the best I can tonight to encourage you, and really me more than you, to trust in Him. He says, "Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names." There you go. Psalm 147 says this too. "By the greatness of His might." You know how He does that? Because He's great. That God's great. "For that He is strong in power. Not one faileth." Not one of His stars fails, because He's the one who lit them up. He's the one who keeps them. "It's by His power that all things consist." Not only that they are, but that consist. And He says, comes to verse 27. Here He deals right with Jacob and Israel, which is really talking to the elect family of God. He says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel?" This is the chosen people of God. "My way is hid from the Lord." Sometimes you and I just feel like the Lord turned His back on us and He just really doesn't know what we're going through. And if He does know what we're going through, sometimes in our weakness we'll think, "Does He really care about me? Is He really involved with me? Is He really taking care of me?" We get like John the Baptist and even question, "Lord, if You be the Christ, if Thou art the Christ, are Thou the Christ, or should we look for another?" Because things weren't working out like He had intended. And we get in the weakness of the flesh, very, very weak. We can get there. And he says, "Why sayest thou, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" Why would we say that? He said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard?" That's what we're saying tonight. Have you not heard? Have you not known? If you haven't, let me tell you again. He says, "The everlasting God." Isn't it good to know God's going to be the same every day? "The everlasting God, the Lord." Who is He? The Lord, the one who's in control. "The creator of the ends of the earth." He's made it all. "He doesn't faint. He fainteth not. Neither does He get tired." You ever get tired? Absolutely. You ever feel like faint? Absolutely. That's why we're not to trust in us or anyone else, because they all get faint and they get tired. But not the Lord. He says there is no searching of His understanding. He understands completely. And we can't figure it all out, but He already knows. "He giveth power to the faint." So when we're down and low, it's not a bad thing to be down and low. It's a bad thing to stay down and low. Not a bad thing to be down. It's a bad thing to stay down. Being down is where you begin to learn. When you get down and you realize, "I can't do it," that's when you stop trying to do things you can't do anyway, and you realize, "I can't make it." It is bad to stay there, because once you have seen that, we have a God who made the heavens and the earth, who says He giveth power to the faint. So when I need power, I might feel like I don't have it. Oh, you do. You don't have it in yourself, but you have it in Him. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." That's where we get our strength from. And when do we get that? That's why the Apostle Paul also said, "When I am weak, then am I strong." When we think we're strong, we're truly weak. It's when we're weak that we understand, "Oh Lord, I am weak." That's what we're saying, right? "I am weak, but Thou art strong. I am weak, but Thou art strong." He giveth power to the faint. I can say that tonight because the Word says it. When I see you faint, I can say, "Look, the Lord gives you power. You look to Him, He gives you power. And to them that have no might." Didn't say to them that have some might. It says to them who have no might, He increases strength. It means you have some strength. You don't have any might, but you have some strength. But He increases that strength, that which you need. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." That tells us that mankind, young or old, is a flop. That's really what that says. "But they that wait upon the Lord," that's important for us to do tonight. I just want to wait on Him. When I don't know what to do, I want to stand still and wait on the Lord. And I want to wait trusting. I want to wait believing. I want to wait in faith. I don't want to wait complaining. I don't want to be waiting murmuring. I don't want to be wait with a sad face. I want to be waiting, looking, depending, leaning, trusting in the Lord. And in the midst of that wait, have joy in my heart, knowing the Lord's going to come just as sure as the sun's going to rise. And the moon's going to be there at night, and the stars are going to be there because they're holding, they're there by His power, and I can depend on that. Just as sure as that's the case, the Lord's going to come at the right time with the right answer in my life, and I pray He'll give me sense enough to see it and know it, and that I can have peace in the midst of the storm. And that's to wait on the Lord. Now, He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall. It didn't say they might, it says they shall. They will renew their strength. When you get faint, what do? Well, I need to wait on the Lord. And if I wait on the Lord, and I'm patient, I'm looking to the Lord, I'm dependent on Him like a child depends on its parents. I'm dependent upon the Lord, just like, when I was a kid, I didn't have to have every day figured out. I didn't say to get up in the morning and say, I wonder what we're going to eat. I just knew Mama was going to have something on the table at some point. I wasn't worried about somebody coming in and doing me harm. I felt like Daddy would take care of things pretty good. And even though they could have failed and might have not neglected their duty, I trusted in them. When we're waiting on the Lord, we're trusting in the Lord. Listen, He'll never fail. He will always take care of His children, especially they that wait on the Lord. He says, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I believe some of God's little children are just able to fly. I've seen some of them in trouble who could just fly. Can you see them? They're trusting in the Lord and they're right in trouble, but then they just seem like they fly because the Lord just lifts them up. Not all of them fly. Some of them, He says, they shall run and not be weary. Some of them, they may not fly, but they might be running. They're not quite flying, but they're running. They're not weary. They're going right on. They're moving ahead. And some of them, I believe, it's kind of like me. They shall walk. You know, I don't do a lot of running. I certainly ain't going to do any flying. They shall walk, but not faint. In other words, you just keep on persevering. Keep on walking. Keep on looking to the Lord. And when you get tired sometimes, it's hard to keep on walking. But it's important for us in this world to keep on walking. Now, not walk by our own power because we don't have any, but walk by faith, waiting on the Lord. Now, sometimes the Lord may lift us up to where, you know, you feel like you had a good meeting. Sometimes you feel like you just fly off. That's those times where you mount up with wings as eagles, not weagles, but eagles. And they shall. And then sometimes you're running. I mean, you just, oh, it's a special, just feel like I'm running. And I'm not weary. Just keep on going. But then sometimes I'm not feeling that all of that, but I'm walking. I'm moving on. I'm looking to the Lord. And I'm not fainting. And the promise is to those that do what? Not run ahead. Not run on their own. Not just go any old way. But those that wait upon the Lord. Now, how is it that it's possible that we could wait upon the Lord? Well, He's given us faith, the ability to do that. He's given us eyes to know that He's there, ears to hear Him, heart to understand Him, and faith to trust Him. And what I'm saying to you is that we need to put off that old man that doesn't do any of that and put on the new man. And as we do that, we will wait on the Lord and depend upon Him. And we'll be able to say it's well with my soul. Even though it hasn't worked out yet, it's going to. May not work out here. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you trust in things working out here when God hadn't meant that for it to work out here. And that way, He's going to work out it better. And He's going to take us out of here. There's one day we're going out of here. And that'll be a good day when the Lord carries us out of this world. But until that time, as we wait on Him, we'll either fly like the eagle or we'll run and not get weary, or we'll walk and not get weary. And maybe we'll do all three a little bit as the Lord gives us strength. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.